As Elizabeth retires in after 25 years, we'll all face a huge transition, including you. With that in mind, the worship committee asked me to describe the evolution of our beloved fellowship from 1967, when Alan and I came here as newlyweds, until Elizabeth's arrival in 1988. It's called the pre-Elizabethan period. The idea is to show that BOOF has survived many trials and transitions in the past, and we will continue to do so. A disclaimer, however, the perspective on our past that I am sharing with you this morning is mine alone. The opinions you will hear are not necessarily the views of all those who were there at the time. At the very least, my words will trigger some memories or allow the rest of you to relate to life experiences that we all have in common. The time was 1967, at the height of the Vietnam War. John F. Kennedy had been assassinated 4 years earlier. The civil rights movement was at its most violent, and both Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy would be assassinated within the next 9 months. It was a frightening time. Our nation was being torn apart. Alan was Eastern, city, Jewish, who now calls himself a Junitarian. And I was Western Country Christian. We came to Boise looking for a church where neither one of us would have to convert. We found the Boise UUs meeting at the YWCA, which is now the Women's and Children's Alliance. They were a small, colorful, hardy group of mostly liberal individualists with a definite anti-authority streak. And we quickly grew to love them. Sunday morning programs were lay-led, with vigorous commentary after, and a Sunday night discussion group in someone's home. The format was very much like a Democratic political meeting with a few strong Republicans thrown in. The emphasis was political action and philosophy. The fellowship closed down in the summer, and everyone went to the hills, camping, traveling, communing in the dominant religion, nature. Evolution. This practice continued until Elizabeth came. She gradually helped us create something in the summer, which helped new folks in their efforts to find us. It's difficult to inquire about UUs when you can't find them. In the YWCA group, there were very few Unitarians by birth. Two sisters from BOOF's founding family were the matriarchs, Ethel Hopper and Nell Tregaskis. The rest of us were dropouts and transplants from other religions. At times, Alan and I were shocked by the bitterness toward organized religion. Traditional religion had been traumatic for many. It took a lot of anger and pain to break away from the old ways, with residual wounds and scars. Words like worship, God, Jesus were awkward. I remember an angry debate over whether to pass a collection plate because it smacked too much of organized religion. No one could deny the fact, however, that when we got more money whenever we passed the plate, so a compromise was reached. We would call it a collection basket, not a collection plate. You may notice that we still have baskets today. Evolution. Through the years, I've watched us evolve into a more tolerant group. There is such a thing as a bigoted liberal. It's easy to become one when debating issues like the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement, and politics and religion in Idaho. But our growing numbers, our group identity, and a minister have helped our evolution towards a more tolerant group. And then we were kicked out of the YWCA. There had always been Sunday school for the children in the basement. Over time, the Y started complaining about our use of the space. And the final straw was when our children left a parsnip in the refrigerator. We were undone by a parsnip. So what could we do for our precious children? We tried using Jim Hopper's basement, which meant children came to church, were separated from their parents, loaded in cars, and transported to a strange, narrow stairway into a windowless basement. It was traumatic. We had crying children everywhere. That was the push we needed to purchase our first building on Pierce Park Lane in 1971 for $22,000. We lost some people when we bought that building, and we gained more. There was a great anxiety over the debt and the dangers of the edifice complex, but everyone supported a home for our children. Around this time, there was a major influx of young families. We wanted our children to have a religious home to provide an identity in a conservative community. Until that time, adults and children most often explained what it was to be a UU in the negative, such as, "I'm not sure what we are, but I know what we're not." A small group of parents took on the daunting task of creating a positive RE curriculum, K through 12, with the help of the UUA. Curriculums like Haunting House, Man the Culture Builder, Church Across the Street. This took years of hard work. Teenage identity and support was high priority. Our teens may not have always been able to make their friends understand what a UU was, but they knew who they were, and they had each other for peer support. Boof also started the first sex ed curriculum in the Valley and the state, which was no easy task. It's still no easy task. Evolution. This RE pioneering effort evolved into a full-time RE director and the program we have today. At the same time we were working so hard on the children's curriculum, many adults were evolving in their requests for program topics. Surveys kept showing that people wanted more spiritual topics, not religious, but spiritual. The trouble was, everyone knew what spiritual felt like, but it was difficult to define. Jim Tompkins, Charlotte's husband, a trained Protestant minister who had left the ministry and become a Unitarian, was our first taste of what a liberal religious minister could do. He not only pushed us intellectually, but he married us and buried us. We also had Sam Day and his dear family. Sam was a peace activist and journalist who first came to Idaho with the Associated Press and then started the Intermountain Observer. I think we still have stock in the Intermountain Observer. A crusading paper that championed civil rights, the environment, and an end to the Vietnam War. Not only was he passionate and kept many of us demonstrating down Capitol Boulevard and sitting on railroad tracks to block nuclear waste, but he was lovable and he had a sense of humor. I quote from Sam, "Unitarians aren't good singers because they're always reading ahead to see if they agree with the lyrics." Evolution. I'm proud to say we've evolved into good singers and are more comfortable with music and words from all faiths, including Christianity. Thanks to many temporary choir directors in the past, we now have a paid part-time music director and a regular choir that performs once a month. The Sam Day years were filled with a large amount of high-profile activism by fellowship members, and it led to a traumatic and divisive 100% vote. Not everyone in the fellowship agreed with all the social causes being demonstrated in the name of the fellowship. A huge debate resulted in a resolution that the fellowship name could only be used if 100% of members approved, which of course was impossible. The compromise was that positions could only be taken in the name of the BOOF Social Action Committee, not the whole fellowship. We lost some people from that vote, and we barely kept some. Hiring a minister was the next divisive issue. As we continued to grow, more people wanted to work towards hiring a minister. There were those who did not want to grow and were afraid we would lose the intimacy of a small lay-led group. It was one of those things we couldn't have both ways. We lost some people, but we gained more. Evolution. The conviction that we had a duty to share the UU philosophy with as many as were interested drove the majority through a tryout of visiting UU ministers, such as David Coles, for 6 weeks in 1974. Then came our first full-time minister, Armita Alexander, from 1981 to 87. David Keyes, interim minister, 87 to 88. And then our own Elizabeth Green, 1988 to 2013. Each minister helped us develop meaningful rituals and self-governing infrastructure as we grew. We are not the same as we used to be, but we are more. Around 1977, we were again tested by a person named Russell Lorelei Smith. It was a test of our whole self-concept of tolerance, one of the most sacred of UU principles. He claimed to be a dual coordinate personality, both male and female, and could change personalities in mid-conversation. The main problem was that both personalities were demanding, confrontational, and tested limits. He demanded 2 VA benefits, 2 Social Security cards, had exhausted the counseling department at BSU, been accosted by his own psychiatrist, and was regularly arrested by the police for being in women's public restrooms. At BOOF, he dominated the congregational commentary time and regularly confronted members in the legal, medical, and counseling professions. People began to leave and opt out of activities where he would be present. Without an official minister to help work through such a problem, the board asked me to call Reverend Peter Rabel, a respected UU minister of the Seattle University Church. Peter's advice was blunt. He is using your stage for his show. You are losing people you can help for someone you cannot help. There are limits to tolerance. The board voted to ban him from the fellowship. It was heart-wrenching, for everyone. We lost some people, but they eventually came back. Our special guests today are from our past. They are some of the folks who helped make this fellowship what it is today. Would all those who contributed to the survival of this fellowship before 1988 please stand? As you stand, please know you are the shoulders upon which we stand. You dug the wells from which we drink, and you planted the trees under whose shade we sit. Thank you. You may be seated. The history keepers have prepared some photo albums and some photos in the back for you to enjoy. You may not even recognize yourself after all those years. And I have to say this right away. Those of you who are new, it is amazing to me that you'd think the only time you could feel close in a bond would be to those that you have are from your past. But the new people that are here are our kind of people. And there is a bond right from the beginning. The Elizabethan years have seen many transitions. 25 years is a testament to anyone, as well as a congregation as diverse as ours. Evolution implies that we must adapt or die. Darwin observed it and dared to theorize it. After being part of Booth's evolution for 45 years, I can say this. There is an energy and a resilience about this fellowship that still exists through all our trials. We, the current members and friends of Booth, will be writing the future story. Even with our many imperfections, I have no doubt that we will continue to evolve and survive as a home for liberal religious thought in Idaho. Amen. May it be so.